You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am...
out of a job.
Damn it.
Replaced.
I am your crime-woven Carmen. I'm having an identity crisis.
I'm the story stealer this week. I'm Tyler.
It's Tyler. I'm Gordy, a plant that grows without taking matter from somewhere. Thank you, Too Cold, Too Furious.
It is that arbitrary time of year when we look at the schedule and say, well, it's half past monkey.
We just throw darts at a calendar.
There's a very secret formula that determines when Tyler reads a story, it means we're doing... the Journey West again.
Another chapter.
We're going to check in on our good friend, Sun Wukong.
Mm-hmm. And his buddy, the priest, Sun Zong. What else do either of you remember about what is happening?
There was something about being in a mountain and then being not in a mountain. And crime?
Always.
And peach crime. I think he stole clothes last time. Is that true?
If by stole you mean killed a tiger and made it clothes.
Yeah, okay.
Was that the temp tiger?
No, temp tiger was another story. This is clothes tiger. This is gap tiger.
Right. He was going to the west.
The last episode was called Ancient Chinese Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Just to remind you.
Sure, that tells me a lot about it. There's a lot of credit to our naming system.
I remember not a lot of plot happened in that one. Or did I just forget all the plot?
I mean, you named all the plot. He was in a mountain, he got out of it, now he has clothes, and he's traveling with this priest.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the Journey West is for? Why are they going west?
Dragon Ball. Oh.
What is over there that they want?
Capitalism.
Enlightenment.
In a sense, yeah. It is the Buddhist scriptures that they are going to return to China.
I assume this is the priest's motivation and Sun Wukong's motivation is why
not? The Bodhisattva Guanyin told him to.
Yeah, but since when does he respect authority?
Since he was trapped in a mountain for many centuries.
Yeah, I don't see that changing his mind.
So last time we read chapter 14.
Yeah.
This time we're going to read chapter 15.
Yeah.
Back to back. I think this is the first time I've done that.
Back to back chapter. Yeah, I think you're right. We read like
I usually jump ahead a bit.
5, 9, 14 or something like that.
Yeah.
What's this one called?
The title of this chapter is On the Coiled Snake Mountain, the gods give secret help. In the Eagle Sorrow Gorge, the Thought Horse is reined in.
I forgot the first part. That was so long.
I remember the first part because... like my first envisioning of what a snake coiled mountain looked like was like the poop emoji,
but rocks.
But yeah,
you
but stonies.
Yeah,
you gotta feed that to me.
Petrified poop emoji.
You gotta feed that to me one more time, please.
On the coiled snake mountain.
Wait.
Waiting.
I'm just gonna take care of some business over here while this happens.
On. Oh man, I don't want all caps.
We also have an executive producer. I'm gonna say that while Gordy prepares the label maker.
Oof, for its greatest challenge yet.
We'll cover this table faster than we thought.
This week's episode is brought to you by Comrade Craghag, also known as Arn Thompson Type 1004, Hogs in the Mud, Sheep in the Air.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Comrade Craghag.
Thank you. Comrade Craghag also has a very good ferret.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we see pictures of sometimes.
And you could too if you paid us a dollar.
Gets you access to some good animals. What's on the Coiled Snake Mountain?
The gods give secret help.
Oh, man.
You started, now you have to finish.
Semicolon.
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 I don't know if I have that.
Make it up. or right semicolon.
Insert symbols. Oh.
That reminded me of that moment when Pearl and Steven Universe merges with the hand ship for the first time. And like experiences the new tech available to her. Is that same kind of
just witnessing a power not known for centuries.
I don't think I have that.
Just write semicolon. Or just make these two different tags.
It's gonna be a space.
Okay.
Keep going.
In the Eagle's Sorrow Gorge. This is great radio.
It's really gonna pay off though, I promise.
The length of who? This print is going to be rapturous.
So Eagle's Sorrow Gorge.
Eagle's Sorrow Gorge.
I want to know if we meet the eagle who was sad enough to name a gorge. Okay.
The Thought Horse.
Okay.
The Thought Horse.
Thought-horse.
I want one.
I feel like it's worth going through this title bit by bit because there's a lot
just to know what you're about to experience.
There's a lot to chew on in here. What is a thought horse?
Glorious.
It's still. I'm afraid that it's not going to let me do this, but it's still typing. The thought horse
is reined in.
Is.
And I assume reined is the R-E-I-N.
Yes, like a horse do.
How's it spelled?
Like horse do.
R-E-I, spell it, I'm too scared.
R-E-I-N-E-D.
Is reined
in.
Are you ready for this?
I can't wait.
Is that the end of it?
That's the end of it. Yes.
Here it goes. Hopefully you can hear this.
Give me that sweet label.
This is gonna take a really long time.
I like how Gory has the lock on all of our segments, and they're all kind of like this.
Well, kind of like what? Waiting for a label maker to finish printing? Boy, we're not super close. It's still, ooh, okay, Sorrow Gorge. Yeah, there's, like, it didn't at any point say, like, hey, you can't do this. That's too many words. So this thing is chugging, though.
We have not reached the limit of the label maker.
You got a high score in skee-ball, is what just happened.
I hope you didn't make a typo in there.
No, it's perfect. And if I did, I don't care. This is a good, what is that, like a foot long?
A little less.
A little less, like 10 inches.
10 or 11.
10 inches of like good label.
Shall we begin?
Are we gonna do boat watch?
Yeah, you probably should.
Yeah, let's do.
We had label segment, and now it's time for second segment.
Labels. This is boat watch, a segment where I guess whether there's a boat in this story or not. But a buffer bum, I'm boating it. We're boating it together.
We are.
We hope. China going west.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I like to think of it in terms of...
It is a journey.
It's a journey into a very inland part of the world.
Yeah. Sure is.
But these stories are wild.
We have stolen from a fisherman. Like, didn't we steal pants from a fisherman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? This one I kind of just feel in my bones. There's gonna be a boat somewhere in the story. Yes. And that's the end.
Lock it in.
That's the end of the segment. That's all there is. That was Boat Watch.
I can't guess crimes because I know the answers. Carmen, do you want to invent a segment while we're here?
Trying to think of what segment would make sense for me to do.
You so rarely find yourself in this situation.
I usually have the power and control, and I know exactly what's going to happen for every episode, all of it, even the bus.
That was scripted.
By me.
This is an audio drama.
Slip to you mentally via psychic powers. Oh, man.
Ooh.
I'm going to guess an Aaron Thompson type that might show up in here.
Okay.
I'm going to pull that up while Gordy struggles with this 11-inch
it's
long.
It's sticking to itself.
Oh, no.
I'm going to do this randomly because that's the criteria I've got.
Sure. Pick a number.
I'm going to do 178, the faithful animal rashly killed.
Gordy, you just let me know when you're ready. So Monkey and Song Zong are continuing their road trip westward. They're now several weeks in, and they are suffering from the biting cold winds of winter as they struggle across winding mountain paths. This is some hobbit shit.
You'd think that tiger skin would do a better job of keeping him warm. I mean, tigers live in winter just fine.
Sure.
Also, he has fur. Also, isn't he made of stone?
He is made of stone. Yeah. I think he is just commiserating with the human man.
But he is, like, Sun Wukong is wearing the tiger skin.
Yes.
He's not lending it to his priest friend.
No.
Can feel the cold.
His priest friend is riding a horse, so that's the trade.
Is commiserating the right word, or is he just like Munchausen's?
Yes.
Like he just needs to be the center of attention.
That as well.
He'd probably kill the horse if he was riding it.
He might kill the horse not riding it.
One day, Sanzong heard some water running and asked Monkey if he knew what was causing it.
Ho ho ho. What do we got here? Running water.
Mm-hmm. And Monkey informed his master that the place that they had reached was called Eagle Sorrow Gorge on the Coiled Snake Mountain.
Is the running water just an eagle sobbing?
It was probably water in the gorge.
From an eagle sobbing?
Perhaps.
We better find out why this is named this.
We do. Don't
okay,
worry.
Good. Thanks. This is not a Dol Noir tale where things are just tossed out.
I'm pretty sure I wrote that part down. They looked down the cliff that they had stopped at and did indeed see a deep pool of clear water. And it was so beautiful that the chapter wrote a poem about it.
Oh, like good. It just broke into a whole new genre.
Well, I don't know if I've mentioned this in previous chapters, but this is the structure of the book is that it tells a narrative story and it occasionally breaks out into song or poem to describe the scenario. And I typically omit those. Like, I will search them for pertinent details, but if it is just descriptive, then I omit it.
Yeah.
And this is one of those situations.
Definitely not uncommon in the older, especially epics.
Yes.
Where you have omitted it?
Yes.
What if it describes a boat on there?
I got you covered, bud.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay.
I know how important this segment is.
I just, look, it's been a while since I got, like, a genuine... The thing is,
a genuine win.
If I guess that there isn't one and there's not, it's like...
It doesn't even count as a win.
It's fine, but it's not, like... Doesn't give me the same feeling.
We're all just left sad afterwards.
Yeah.
As the master and disciple watched, they heard a noise in the gorge, and a dragon emerged from the waves, and it leapt up the cliff, and it tried to grab at Sanzong.
Okay.
How big this lake is?
Dragon-sized.
I guess.
This is like the
shaped.
This is like the snaky dragons, though. The Chinese, like...
Yeah, still like, big, though.
Like serpent. I mean, yes, but...
Well, I think they came in different sizes, so...
I'm going to give you a detail, imminently, that will describe the size of this dragon.
Okay.
In a panic, Monkey dropped the bags that he was carrying and yanked his master off of the horse, and he turned and ran.
Yes.
The dragon couldn't catch up with them, so it decided to eat their whole horse, saddle included, in a single bite.
Does that count for a win on my...
I think it is an immediate win in your segment, Carmen.
Yeah. Starting off strong.
I was very impressed that you picked that.
I have storyteller in my blood.
Clearly. And after it ate the horse, it fell back down into the pool. When Monkey was sure that he'd found a safe spot for his master, he set Sanzong down, and he returned to collect the horse and luggage, but he didn't find a horse. He just saw the bags that he dropped.
I mean, it was nice of the dragon not to also eat their luggage.
There might have been food in it.
Yeah.
He should have checked.
I mean, maybe he did.
He should have.
Maybe
that's
he rummaged.
Probably, I mean, a horse is food
but,
for
like,
a dragon.
Thus
also,
far, this dragon has treated their luggage better than Delta. So, win for the dragon.
Monkey says, Master, that damn dragon has disappeared without a trace. It gave our horse such a fright that it ran away.
Did he do a curse?
He did do a curse. He does a curse a lot.
Who does? Oh.
He's a cussing monkey.
Man, I bet this priest loves that.
He's a cool monkey. Because he does cool cusses.
And cigarettes.
Does he smoke?
And tiger skin. He's like a
smoke
tiger punk.
Comes from him sometimes.
That's true. Does he skateboard?
On a cloud.
Yeah, okay.
Tony Hawk can't do that.
Birdman. Monkey decided to hop as high as he could onto his flying cloud, and he spun around looking in all directions for their horse. When he didn't see it, he concluded that the dragon ate it.
Yeah, Monkey King, that's not a CSI episode.
I mean, correctly, yes.
Sanzong delicately requested that Monkey take a more careful look before just deciding that the horse got ate.
Sanzong, this is not forensic science here. Like, 1 + 1 = 2.
You don't know about my powers, Monkey replied. These eyes of mine can see what's happening 300 miles away.
That's new?
And yeah. Within that range, I can even spot a dragonfly spreading its wings. There's no way I could miss a big horse like that.
What is he arguing for?
Then he looked around and there was no horse, so the dragon ate it.
Okay, yeah.
No jump. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Monkey
that
King's
seems...
not wrong. Still a very, like, teenage response. You don't know my power, Mom.
I remember saying that when I was a teenager.
Sanzong sat down and began to cry.
Wow.
Because he was thinking about how far they still had to go and how hard it was going to be to do it without a horse now.
Not an emotional attachment to the horse.
No, just that it's really far.
I thought you were going to say he was thinking about how far they had to go and how hard it would be to do with the Monkey King as company.
That as well.
Like, no, I can't do it like without a horse with this guy.
I can't handle this back sass and no horse.
Stop being such an imbecile, master.
Wow.
Sit there and wait while I find the wretch and make him give us our horse back.
It's an eated horse, right?
That horse at minimum's coming with a lot of backwash.
Sanzong was worried that if Monkey left him unprotected, that the dragon would use that opportunity to come and eat him.
Sanzong's very self-involved for a priest.
I mean, he's dealing with a lot for a mortal man.
He is, but didn't Monkey King, like, move him away from Gorge?
Yes.
Where Dragon is?
Yes, I mean, but he's worried that they will be two ships passing in the night, and the dragon will just come to where he is, and he will be without a monkey to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
Most animals don't go to that much trouble for their food.
Most animals aren't dragons. As far as I know, I do need to check the alphabet again.
I don't know that we had dragon on there. I think that went under zoo.
I think that's under vampire, right?
No, vampire specifically humanoid cryptids.
We have cryptids.
Yeti
Do
might
dragons
be
count as cryptids?
Cryptids are yeti.
Right.
I think dragons are under yeti, and then all humanoid ones are under vampire.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it turns out the system, like, narrowing down all animals.
Yeah, into one category for each letter is hard. Science is hard. You often don't get it right the first time.
Monkey got upset and started shouting at his master about how he didn't want him to, or he didn't want to continue the journey without a horse, but he also wouldn't let Monkey go get the damn horse back. So what was he supposed to do?
Yes.
I mean, Monkey's people skills definitely require improvement, but Monkey is the more capable of the two of them in this particular scenario.
Correct.
I have not been on Monkey King's side before.
It's a strange feeling.
I know.
Yeah, like, I find myself kind of agreeing with Monkey King, and it's like once in a very rare my lifetime when I've agreed with Glenn Beck, and you kind of have to step back and think, like, what happened? Did it really go down the way I think?
I don't remember how competent or otherwise this priest has been in the past.
He avenged his parents that one time.
I think reasonably, but it's hard to know for sure.
Well, right now he's pulling a Dalnois princess, just breaking down into tears immediately at first hardship.
I think it's important to remember that he is dealing now with mythical creatures and deities, whereas when we first met him, he was a mortal man dealing with mortal beings, and he was much more competent in that situation.
Okay. Yeah, he's out of his depth. Okay. Yes,
so
for the
just,
moment,
he's
I guess.
Overwhelmed.
Yes. As they bickered, voices boomed from the sky above them. It was a bunch of gods sent by Bodhisattva Guanyin, the Bodhisattva that sent them out on this quest.
Yes.
That were supposed to offer hidden protection to the pilgrims on Zong.
Yes.
Unseen aid, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
They introduced themselves. We are the six Dings, the six Jias, the revealers of the truth of the five regions, the four duty gods, and the 18 protectors of the faith.
Man, kindergarten must have been hard for them.
How do you get titles like that?
Be
where
a
do
god.
You, where do you get them? Where,
heaven.
Why can't I have that on like on a business card?
I mean, you could legally change your name to that. We did have Serpentfoot up in Rome, whose
yes.
full name was much longer than that.
Yeah, that's right.
We shall take it in turns to be in attendance every day. So basically what they're saying is that a bunch of these local gods are going to take turns babysitting San Zong while Monkey is away for as long as he needs.
Yeah, to just find the horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. He's protected. There's like 20 of us. We'll be good. Monkey returned to the gorge, cudgel in hand, standing on the mist above the water, shouting, "Give us back our horse, Mudloach. Give us back our horse."
Standing on the mist above the water.
Yep.
Is this like riding his little cloud?
Yeah, but like water mist cloud.
Oof. Yeah, he's Tony Hawking the steam.
Oof. Now
it isn't touching.
It's not touching the
it
water.
It's not touching. Or we're getting so close. Or,
like a hair's breadth away from this being a boat. I'm gonna let you listeners in on a little secret. Sometimes I pull up an NBA air horn sound on my phone just in case. And most of the time, I just close it afterwards and never use it.
Just quietly, without making eye contact with anybody, close it and retreat.
When the dragon heard Monkey, it leapt up through the waves and asked, "How dare you make so free with your insults?" And then was immediately smacked in the face by the cudgel.
I mean, he had a plan. I'll give him that. It's a very Goku plan, isn't it? Like, yell at the thing, and when the thing shows up, hit
fucking
it.
Fucking hit it.
Just hit it hard.
And then eat a sandwich.
A battle ensued between Monkey and the dragon, and the battle was so beautiful that the chapter wrote another poem about it.
An artistic battle?
It was just a lot about Monkey's beautiful golden eyes flashing, and the claws of the dragon shining in the sun, and Monkey's fur glittering in the light, and et cetera, et cetera. It was a very noble battle.
I mean, those are good directions for, like, an artistic director or a visual director on a film.
After fighting for a really long time, taking some breaks, and then fighting again...
How are the breaks determined? Do they, like, just put their hands in the T-shape?
Maybe.
For a timeout? Is there a referee?
I don't know how long the fight takes place. It might be days. It is unclear.
Are they just like, hold on, bathroom break?
I think I read once that Frederick Douglass fought a guy for like 4 hours in a bar once. I might try to verify that really quickly.
Since we're having a bathroom-centric week, what do you do about bathroom breaks on the battlefield?
Oh, I forgot to mention it in the episode itself. Comrade Craghag did specifically request that we find a way to put as many toilets in the story as we could.
Okay, well, here's one. All of those breaks were for
a lot
pooping.
Of bathroom breaks.
Yeah, yeah, they stopped. I mean, the river is the toilet, I guess. It's not a good... You shouldn't do that.
So after all of this fighting, the dragon's muscles got sore. So it went back to the bottom of the gorge. And then it pretended to be deaf when Monkey started cussing at it again.
Also mature.
What?
Just gave him the cold shoulder.
Just like put its fingers in his ears and went la 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 la.
At the bottom of a gorge.
Yeah.
Reporting back to San Zong, Monkey said, "Master, I swore at that ogre till it came out. And after fighting me for ages, it fled in terror. It's now in the water and won't come out again."
I see Monkey King subscribes to our alphabet philosophy of mythic creatures.
It's an ogre.
Dragon, ogre, yeti. They're all the same. They're all yeti.
I'm starting to think it wasn't Frederick Douglass.
Not getting a lot of hits.
No. Yeah, I think maybe this is not one of the things that Frederick Douglass is becoming more and more known for.
So this is going to be a little editorializing for me, but I like this next thing that San Zong says, because it tells me that the author remembered that stuff happened in the last chapter, but in, like, the narrative, they have been traveling for months, and then this fight has been happening for maybe weeks.
Okay.
But San Zong says, when you killed that tiger the other day...
Nice.
You said you had ways of making dragons and tigers submit to you. So how comes it that you couldn't beat this one today? Monkey had never been able to stand provocation. So when San Zong mocked him this time, he showed something of his divine might. Say no more, say no more. I'll have another go at it, and then we'll see who comes out on top.
He showed his divine might?
Yeah.
His divine might is just,
I think he's just
a quip.
He just, like, did a cool pose.
He vogued.
Like, hands on hip.
He vogued and light shone around him.
Beautiful.
I think he did that thing with the pecs where they dance.
He Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Just to be impressive.
The fun muscle dances.
Monkey went back to the gorge, and this time he used magic to make the water so turbulent that the dragon couldn't sleep peacefully.
Just like a magical god monkey alarm clock.
Just a real shitty jacuzzi.
I was going to say, like, just like it's a big toilet, just flushing constantly.
So the dragon came out again and shouted, "Where are you from, you bloody devil, coming here to push me around?" "Never you mind where I'm from," Monkey replied. "I'll only spare your life if you give back that horse." "That horse of yours is in my stomach, and I can't sick it up again, can I?"
You can sick it, you can...
Well, you could at the beginning. It has been weeks, so, like...
At this point, you have...
Realistically, that horse is one of those bathroom breaks.
At this point, you do have to bathroom the horse. into your river, which is now a big toilet.
"I'm not giving it back, so what about it? If you won't give it back, then take this. I'm only killing you to make you pay for the horse's life."
Well, I mean, at least he got a receipt.
Why can't they ride the serpent or the dragon?
Yeah. It's not horse-shaped.
There's a lot of room on the back of one.
It's like the bus of horses. If horses are a sedan, the dragon is the bus.
The dragon is a bus. A lot of people can sit along its back.
Are dragons and ride. Birds?
Not unlike birds, are they?
The winged ones.
If dinosaurs are birds, dragons are also birds.
But I don't know about the snaky ones.
Mm-hmm.
Birds. Birds are snakes. They're the same. Birds are reptiles. They came from reptiles. Or the other way around. This is true science.
We have been doing this show long enough that you can say birds are snakes, they're the same, and I won't think about it.
They aren't, they like, yeah,
we've been doing the show long enough that thinking is no longer one of our capabilities.
Someone out there, please look up the common ancestry of reptiles and birds, because it's out there.
Yeah, you with the phone in hand that you're actively looking at right now.
I don't want to do that. I might be wrong, so I don't want to look, but someone else look.
It's too painful. The two started another huge battle. And this time, when the dragon reached his limit, he used magic to turn himself into a water snake, and he hid in the nearby undergrowth.
It seems like not that much of a change. Is it just a size change?
Yeah, it's just little now.
Yeah, harder to see. Monkey,
he could fit into the plumbing of a toilet.
So this is like the Merlin Wizard's duel.
A little bit. It's starting to look that way.
It looks a lot like that.
Monkey tried to chase after him, but he quickly lost sight.
Swimming?
He can see a dragonfly fanning its wings.
Can't see a snake in the undergrowth.
Well, he can see that distance, but can he see through things?
Apparently not.
That horse could have just been behind a house.
Right, like if the horse was behind like the nearest rock.
That horse could have been behind another horse.
Is the Monkey King like in the water following?
Well, they're in the forest now, surrounding the area.
Mm. But why is he a water snake then?
Just descriptive.
Be a forest snake. You don't get the bonus for the environment now.
Well, maybe when you're a water dragon, you can only be water other things.
Maybe.
Monkey went to check with some other local gods about the backstory for this dumb dragon. And they were familiar with Monkey, but didn't realize that he had changed his ways recently and that he was on this quest. So he spends about a page explaining everything that's happened in the book so far.
So Monkey King meets with the local Wikipedia Society of Gods, mm-hmm. who have an outdated article on Monkey King. And so he has to edit their article before he can search Gorge Dragon.
Eagle Sorrow Gorge. The gods told Monkey there never used to be any evil creatures in the stream, which ran wide and deep with water so pure that crows and magpies never dared to fly across it.
Well, not anymore, because it's been a toilet for the past couple weeks of babbling.
This was because they would mistake their own reflections in it for other birds of their own kind, and they would often go plummeting into the water.
Why?
Like, when you see something of your own kind, you don't generally, like, headlong rush at it.
I mean, sometimes, like, dogs do in the TV.
That's true.
They do that.
That's why it's called Eagle Sorrow Gorge, because birds kill themselves in it.
Why do the eagles get the name then? Why is it not just Bird Sorrow Gorge?
The most majestic birds.
To see
Maybe
fly.
Maybe it's because they watch these idiot birds doing it and get sad about it.
Either that, or maybe
they look to the camera in a single tear.
Exactly.
Maybe it's more dramatic or funnier to watch an eagle, like, fly directly into the water.
Just like this glorious golden eagle, massive king of the Sakai, and it goes, another, and then drowns.
One of my kind. They rush to mate with it. Or fight it or something.
Last year, when the Bodhisattva Guanyin was on her way to find a man to fetch the scriptures, she rescued a jade dragon and sent it to wait here for the pilgrim, without getting up to any trouble. But when it's hungry, it comes up on the bank to catch a few birds. We can't imagine how it would be so ignorant as to clash with you, the great sage.
So this is a bodhisattva's pet dragon?
Yes, that was intended to wait for Sanzong.
But she forgot to put an automatic kibble feeder in its environment.
I guess she figured the idiot birds would be enough.
And it's gone feral.
Looked around, like, I don't know, there's a lot of stupid looking birds around here.
That's like an automatic kibble feeder.
I mean, basically it is, because these birds just land, just like, I don't know, they land on, like, the ledge littered with bird bones and stand around.
There's no need for you to be angry, great sage, or to search for it. If you want to catch the creature, all you have to do is ask Guanyin to come here, and it will naturally submit. So Monkey returns to Sanzong to explain everything that he just learned. And some of the babysitters volunteer to go get the bodhisattva for them so that Monkey doesn't have to.
Go get daddy.
Yeah.
The babysitters?
The six dings and all those guys that were watching over Sanzong.
Okay.
When Guanyin arrived...
the God's Babysitters Club.
Yes.
That would be a fun rewrite of that series.
When Guanyin arrived, Monkey asked her, why did you send that criminal and evil dragon to become a monster here and eat my master's horse? Letting evil creatures out to run amok like that is a bad deed. Guanyin responded, I personally asked the Jade Emperor to put the dragon here as a mount for the pilgrim.
I knew it.
Dragon bus.
Do you think an ordinary horse would be able to cross the thousands of mountains and rivers to reach the Buddha land on the Vulture Peak?
Yeah.
Come on, Monkey. What are you thinking?
Dragon bus.
Only a dragon horse will be able to do it.
Dragon horse?
Well, they didn't know what buses were back then.
Mm.
Horse was just the catch-all for vehicle.
Is it a Vespa? It's a horse.
It's a
Is it
Fred,
a bus? It's a horse.
It's a Flintstone car.
Guanyin called out to who is now being referred to as the Jade Dragon Prince.
the snake,
yeah,
is a prince.
Is the jade dragon prince?
They're gonna ride a prince. Great.
Who leapt out of the water and took a human form to greet her. So he did more magic.
Cool, cool, cool.
She asked why he was being a pest to the pilgrim headed west and the pilgrim's disciple instead of helping them as he was intended to do. When she pointed at Monkey, the dragon prince said, "He's my enemy.
He punched me a lot.
I ate his horse yesterday because I was starving, so he used some powers of his to fight me till I returned exhausted and terrified, then swore at me so that I had to shut myself in, too frightened to come out.
I hate curses.
He never said a word about anyone fetching scriptures.
I hate dirty words. My mama always said, don't listen to dirty words.
He's a very sensitive dragon prince.
I mean, he grew up as a prince. He's probably been pretty pampered.
You never asked me my name, so how could I have told you? Monkey retorted. I asked you, where are you from, you bloody devil? And you yelled, never mind where I'm from and give me back my horse.
I like this dragon as a character.
It's a good defense from the dragon. He's playing a good D game.
Guanyin turns to talk to Monkey, and she says, you, Monkey, you are so proud of your own strength that you never have a good word for anyone else. There will be others who join you later on your journey. And when they ask you any questions, the first thing you must mention is fetching the scriptures. If you do that, you'll have their help without any trouble at all.
It's your safe word. It's your code.
And Monkey actually took this to heart. He realized he was in the wrong this time.
Well, we do have some character growth, and this didn't even involve being trapped in a mountain. Gordon, yeah. What's the last part of this title?
The thought horse is reined in.
All right. We gotta meet a thought horse.
Guanyin did some magic at the dragon, and he turned into an exact replica of the original horse.
You couldn't give him a better horse? You couldn't give him, like, a cool tricked out dragon horse?
Keep the dragon. It flies, and maybe, and is better.
But if you're gonna turn it into a horse, do a horse with dragon features, like cool horns and scales.
Like a flame and decal.
And one of those mustaches, and yeah, definitely decals. Trick out that horse. What's the point of a dragon horse? And it looks like...
if it's the same horse.
Yeah, like, why would you get a Lexus and make it look like a, like, 1985 serial killer van?
It's like in all of the new Assassin's Creed games, where you can equip different items, but you can change their look to how they used to be. And I think that applies to the mounts as well. So you could equip your unicorn horse and turn it into your shitty original horse... if you wanted to.
Just so that you had the secret unicorn and no one else could see it, but you know.
You must concentrate on wiping out your past sins, she told him. And when you have succeeded, you will rise above ordinary dragons and be given back your golden body as a reward.
What sins? Horse eating?
He Old. Did. It was not clear what he did, and I'm trying to... We read about a dragon that did crimes. I don't know if you remember.
I don't.
He met a fortune teller and they had a like debate about when it would rain. And then the dragon tried to do a trick where he made it rain, but the fortune teller knew he cheated.
Uh-huh.
So then the dragon got in trouble with heaven. And I think this might be the same dragon, but it's not clear. There's a lot of dragons.
He did one crime and it was really more of a like gambling faux pas. I mean, it gets you kicked out of Vegas for sure.
An oopsie.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it gets you, like, loss of bodily autonomy.
Well, he took the bit between his teeth and he took her words to heart. The Bodhisattva told Sun Wukong to take him to see Sun Zong. As she was returning to the Southern Sea, her work here was done. She also had another gift for Monkey before she left, who was feeling apprehensive about continuing what was already a stressful journey for him.
Why? He's punched a dragon? He's punched a tiger?
He doesn't like dealing with Sun Zong.
Okay, that's fair.
He's a stressful guy.
Yeah, he does seem pretty tightly wound.
The Bodhisattva plucked 3 leaves from her willow twig and put them on the back of Brother Monkey's head and shouted, change! And they changed into 3 life-saving hares.
Great.
She hacked the monkey.
When the time comes and nobody else will help you... they will turn into whatever is needed to save you from disaster. You just get 3 mulligans on the back of your head.
It's a mulligan mullet.
They parted ways again, and Monkey returned to where he had left Sanzong and the babysitters. Monkey led the dragon horse by the mane to see Sanzong, because the saddle and all their equipment was inside the dragon.
Didn't he take reins between his teeth?
He took a bit. I don't know what it was attached to, if anything.
Well, typically the bit is attached to the reins, because right. I don't think you just, like, put a loose bit in a horse's mouth.
Well, in any case, Monkey is dragging this horse by the hair.
At the very least, it's attached to a halter, but I think specifically the ones with reins, because they have halters without bits, because bits aren't that comfortable, even though horses don't have the back teeth that make it possible to have the bit in there. There's, like, a space in their teeth. That horse has something on his face, and it's not just a loose piece of metal that she shoved in his mouth.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Master, so, Monkey said, we've got our horse. Sanzong cheered when he saw it.
Real excited.
Sanzong just emotes the most extreme of every feeling he has. He cannot have a mild feeling.
Why is it sturdier than it was before? He asked.
What did he, like, knock on its sides?
It's got just muscles now.
It's just a muscle horse. Just a beefy, beefy horse.
The engine revs that, like, satisfying growl.
It's got a ripcord on the side now.
And I imagine that this is
where... spoilers.
This is where, like, an audience laugh track was supposed to go.
Uh-huh.
Because they just... The chapter just continues. After,
like,
that.
Like, he didn't say anything and doesn't merit a response.
It's just a goof, like, oh, this horse is different.
Ah.
And that is also where I'm going to stop the chapter, because unlike the stories that we usually read, this is an ongoing story. So it doesn't have, like, a clean cliffhanger ending or anything.
Just now we have a jacked horse.
Yeah, it just kind of meanders for a bit and they meet some more people. But there is something important that happens that I had to include.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a synopsis of the rest of the chapter.
Okay.
Okay. This is for our understanding later on.
Yeah. They meet a fisherman who gives them a ride.
On what?
A boat.
Okay.
Well queued up today. Some days you just feel it.
They meet a farmer who asks them where they stole their beefy horse from.
He assumes they stole it.
He assumes they stole it because it has no saddle or reins or anything.
It took a bit in his mouth.
It's just a stick.
Maybe it is like a bit of the mind.
They put just a wedge in there.
He is apparently the thought horse, which they have not explained.
They explain that it's actually a dragon. So he gives them a saddle and all the stuff they need for horsing.
I mean, I guess that's the safe answer to, yeah, our horse is actually a dragon. Well, all right, here you go. You got no trouble from me. In fact, you get a lot of help. Please go on your way.
And then the cliffhanger for the next chapter, the actual cliffhanger, is that they see a monastery or a temple, the towers of which, on a cliffside. And they ride towards it. That's it.
Exciting.
They just see a building, and that's what's going to happen next time.
Okay.
Cool. We'll see a building and probably get more recaps. I feel like the story set some stuff up in the title that did not pay off. Gordy, can you get us another full read on that title?
On the Coiled Snake Mountain, the gods give... What? The gods give in the eagle's sorrow gorge, the thought horse.
Did you skip a word in that long?
Oh, no.
We're going to have to do this again.
On the Coiled Snake Mountain, the gods give...
secret help.
I did skip secret help.
You were so distressed by the semicolon that you didn't even put in the words before it.
I know. Okay, well, all right, so the Coiled Snake Mountain, it's the snake,
the mountain dragon, that they're on.
The dragon snake. The gods did give secret help.
As babysitting.
In the Eagle's Sorrow Gorge, we know about that, and that must be the thought horse.
is Randin.
I
don't know why it's a thought horse.
Yeah,
but...
like the name thought horse sounds, I mean, dragon horse is also super cool,
yeah.
But it's super cool in a different way. Thought horse gives me like a big brother sort of vibe where we're starting to deal with a dystopian future horse.
It's kind of a bad horse situation.
It's a cyberpunk like computer rig.
Thought horse.
Yeah, I have a thought horse 9000. What do you use to jack in to the net?
I'm thinking of a horse that does like thought crimes and has to be reined in.
I mean, it did kind of do crimes. It killed a horse
in one bite.
That's a mouth crime.
I don't think you're allowed to, like, I can't go up to somebody and just eat their horse.
No.
Like that would be a crime. I think somebody would call police if I went into a field and started eating somebody's horse.
At the very least, it's theft. Although I do think it's illegal to have horse meat in the United States.
Is it?
Yeah, I think trade of horse meat is illegal.
When does it become meat?
Emergencies.
When it's butchered.
So could I trade a dead carcass legally?
Depends on the state you're in.
You trade can't, it for
that,
what?
That precious meat tucked inside. A treasure trove for an illicit night.
Trade it for what?
Dark web
goods
horse
and services.
Meat smuggler.
What in this scenario? What are you trading?
Gold.
For? Where are you?
Georgia currently.
Okay. So
you cannot mail it through the federal post.
No. Why would you mail?
Could I mail a dead horse to myself to copyright it?
You can't open it. Yeah, that's legal. Look, you can
except nowadays, like while you do have that copyright on the dead horse, you still have to officially register it with the U.S. government in order to sue for infringement.
Mm.
Because they recently changed that law, and now it sucks for small time creators because big companies can just steal your stuff and have done. And unless you took the time and paid the money to the U.S. government to get that a copyright officially registered, they can just say, hey, stop it. And you don't get any money. I'm going to try and figure out what that company is that has stolen things.
Disney.
I mean, maybe. There's a like clothing company, though. I think it's Anthropology.
It sounds right. I don't remember what happened in the chapter. So you can't...
all gone.
You can't mail horse meat.
Right.
But you can have it?
You can't have it.
You can't have it or mail it.
That's what I'm asking is, when is it denoted as meat?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, maybe you have to, like, cut it into something.
And is a dead horse just, like, a safe full of horse meat?
I'd say a live horse.
That the government doesn't need to know about.
A live horse is also a safe full of horse meat.
Yeah, but I feel like it would be more inhumane to cut that one open.
No, you shouldn't.
When you get the meat out later.
You shouldn't. But I mean, like, it's like... It's like having a CD for your meat. For your horse meat. Like, you can't touch it now... But one day, it's going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not right. It's going to be possible for you to get at the meat inside it.
So, if horse meat, owning horse meat is illegal, or trading it, is not buying a horse just pre-ordering horse meat?
It is. Like, it is buying a thing that will become horse meat. One day.
Okay, I think specifically butchering and selling butchered horse meat is illegal in the U.S.
So you can have it on your property. So if your horse dies...
Yeah, you're not immediately prosecuted. Like, you're not supposed to keep... your horse is immortal.
There aren't agents, like, waiting at your property line with binoculars just waiting for the moment.
The U.S. government dispatches agents to every, like, farm and ranch and, like... trail riding company and
the moment
stables, and they have them, they're just sitting kind of on the edge of those fences, and they have binoculars and a ghillie suit, and they're just waiting for a horse to drop dead
the moment it hits the ground. They're on you.
Well, there you can you can pay for monthly checkups
on your horses
through the feds. Yeah. They'll come and take its temperature and they'll say, this is 6 days away from being meat.
Like, you got to go ahead and get this out of here.
Start digging. Put it in a box, put it underground.
But if they don't catch you and they don't catch it when the horse dies and it's your horse, mm-hmm. you can't butcher and sell it. Can you just keep it? Like, what if you want to keep the horse around, but it's not practical to keep it in one piece? But like, you want to keep your beloved horse around, and so you just keep it in its kind of its disparate parts.
Yeah.
Like, it could be reassembled theoretically. There's just not space for the whole thing. Is that illegal? You're not going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to have it.
I think to be safe, you should mail that to yourself, too.
Just each piece?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then register it with the U.S. government so that Anthropology and Forever 21 can't steal your stuff.
Each piece?
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to register, okay, this is leg one, leg two.
Well, how beloved is the horse? Is it worth that effort?
I don't know. Some people really like their horses. Maybe what you do is you just have it, like, flash frozen in the moment before death. And then essentially preserved in carbonite is what
I'm...
Yeah,
just a cryo horse.
Yeah, is what... Until we have the technology to revive horses.
Until we have the technology to make horse meat legal.
Yes, until that law passes, you're just going to keep it. But I mean, that's the same thing, because a horse that's been cryo-frozen is just horse meat in storage.
Damn it.
Like, you would do the same thing to dead horse meat as live horse meat.
There. All right, I got it.
Yes.
You freeze it, and you're going to have to do all of this in the same afternoon before they catch you.
Dead or alive?
As close to dead while still being alive as you can.
Okay, so like you preserve the horse in ice.
You got to hook it up to a heart rate machine.
Yeah.
And the moment that those bleats start like coming fewer and farther between.
Yeah.
You freeze that sucker. You put it in a pod, you attach a very, 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 very long rope to the pod, and you shoot it into space, which is outside of the U.S. government's jurisdiction.
Yes, but you have a rope to pull it back in.
Pull it back down when you need it.
Okay.
It's foolproof.
There you go. I'm worried about the heat of the atmosphere and the ice.
I have missed a lot of this conversation because I've been... verifying my claims. Yeah, don't buy from Forever 21 or Anthropology. Ever. ModCloth, you're on blast too.
For what? Stealing?
Art theft. Both of them, both Anthropology and Forever 21 have been accused multiple times of art theft in just this one article, and they're artists I know from an artist alley group who've also been ripped off by both those companies.
Oh.
Just to catch you up on what we've been talking about while you were researching, we did invent an orbital horse kite.
That makes sense. I did leave you unsupervised for like 10 minutes. So I apologize. I claim full responsibility. Why is the horse in space?
So it's outside
the U.S. government's jurisdiction.
There are other places outside the U.S. government's jurisdiction.
Yeah, but that's the only one that is up.
Yeah, I think there's some question, though. Like, hasn't there been question about, like, how far above the atmosphere? Like, how far past the Wimbus you have jurisdiction over? Because wasn't that, like, a big question during the space race and all that?
Here's the new rule. It's Wimbus only.
Take note, world governments. You only get the Wimbus. If it's higher than a giraffe, you don't get it. So the upper floors of those skyscrapers, not yours.
Ooh. Problem.
Yeah, there's a lot
that's
above
an issue.
The Wimbus. We're above the Wimbus. So we're outside of U.S. jurisdiction
right
now.
We live in the Wimbus.
We haven't brought a giraffe Wimbus. Outside yet, so we're not sure.
Those are tall.
Or a good dunker.
We need both.
Those are pretty tall.
Well, the people above us are outside of Wimbus
jurisdiction.
Giraffes
are like, what, 30, 40, 50 feet tall sometimes? Is that correct?
Gordy, she's back on Google. What else can we make up?
No.
15 to 20 feet tall.
That was a quick one.
Stories
took
tall.
A lot less research.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, like, major companies can, like, repress the bad press on them with... that powerful substance known as money. But giraffes don't have money, so all of their shit's easy to find.
I have a question.
Yeah, is it about the story?
Yeah, are we done talking about it?
I mean, it was fine.
Is there anything you wanted clarified or anything that you want to discuss?
It's a good goof. It's a good goof. At the end, they're just like, hey, why did you didn't talk to each other? You didn't like the moral's right there. I'm fine with it.
You just punched instead.
Yeah, like maybe ask next time, both of you. Like,
who's going to play the dragon? I feel like the dragon's human form is sort of like a pretty boy who is afraid of getting his face bashed in.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sure. He seemed pretty sensitive. He gave me Moroku vibes.
Definitely sensitive to punches.
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
Or John Cusack.
That's why he did that movie in a bubble.
Because he's sensitive to punches?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us are.
He was the only smart one to go in a bubble.
Yeah, it's Armor. They should have called that movie Armor Boy.
Armor Boy.
It's like, it's protection from all things. You give it some metal plating, some spikes.
Now, this brings up an interesting quandary.
What?
Put a horse in a bubble. Can the U.S. government get to it?
Does the U.S. government's jurisdiction end at bubble?
Whether or not it ends, can they get in?
Just like a plastic...
They can't punch their way in.
Just like a plastic bubble?
Yeah, like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, I think they could probably get in one.
Yeah, we have a lot of military technology that could probably handle a bubble.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of it, because if they have to resort to that, it will destroy the horse in the process, and therefore there is no evidence of a crime.
I want to see one of those race.
Bubble horse race?
I want to see a bubble horse.
A dead horse in a bubble.
Well, probably a live horse in a bubble.
Well, the reason it's in a bubble is because it's meat, and therefore illegal.
Okay.
So this kite situation is like a space refrigerator for you to go get your meat.
It's got a really long rope so you can pull it down when horse meat becomes legal.
Like what, or your ancestors can, or like whenever
whoever
that
needs
happens.
It.
That's a fun will piece, like a family legacy. Like, it's leave you our property, we leave you our space horse meat.
It's a bizarre, like, science fiction or post-apocalyptic setting where people are like wandering around the wasteland and they find a rope just like coming out of the ground, and they're like, what, like, what is this? Like, is there some technology?
They
like
pull it for months.
Like, yeah, they spend years working on the technology to winch it in, and then one day a horse just falls out of the sky and hits the ground.
Cooked from the atmospheric reentry. Yeah, it's like a microwave.
Pre-seasoned, so delicious.
And they, yeah, it was like had spices rubbed into
it. In a marinade for centuries.
and they believe it to be a miracle, like good unradiated horse meat from above, truly a blessing.
And then it becomes a Dragon Ball-like quest to find the other horse kites that have been scattered throughout the land from illicit horse meat farmers.
I think you both did good work putting toilets in this.
Thank you.
Are there any others that you wanted to add?
Any other toilets?
Yeah.
Or
are you satisfied with the toilet content?
Let's maybe we could do... We're talking a lot about eating horses,
mm-hmm.
and that leads to a toilet eventually, but I don't think like a special toilet would be necessary.
Okay, but what about like wasteland toilet situations? How do you handle toilets in the post-apocalyptic future?
What if there's another rope?
Gordy, what's your toilet solution for a Mad Max horse kite universe?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of variables in play. Do I have a home, or am I like wandering in a car?
The world is your home.
You are a nomadic wanderer seeking the next horse kite.
What am I traveling in?
A bus.
A bus.
Probably a bus. That makes the most sense.
Yeah, you have like your tribe of post-apocalyptic horse seekers.
I think.
And you're like the horse prophet because you found the first one.
I think you make like a night, like try to make like a nice little thing in the back of the bus that's like sectioned off, and it's got like a seat with the hole cut in it, and you can just kind of go while you're on the bus, and it just like falls out a hole in the back.
Sure.
And then you drive far away from the leavings.
You leave your crimes for others to deal with.
And you've got, yeah, just whatever commodities you can on board.
See, I was going to say a second rope next to the first rope with a cryptic note etched in the sand below that just says, you'll need this. And you pull on it, and it is a perfectly frozen in space port-a-john. The last on Earth.
That would be chili on the nether bits.
Well, it would also get cooked on reentry.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a partly melted. It's still.
No, it's a good system because it, like, you know, it takes a long time to like de-thaw a whole chicken.
Yeah,
if you've ever like sat around and just waited for like a chicken to de-thaw, this is pretty good. It goes
space is gonna do it for you.
Froze like it goes from frozen to warmed up.
It's just refreezing.
What?
De-thawing is just refreezing.
Thawing, whatever. You know what I mean.
De-thawing.
You de-thaw going out and you thaw coming back in.
How'd you get the horse in space again?
We
launched it.
Okay, well maybe next to the rope is a secondary pod so you can trade the horse for the horse leavings. So you're like, you eat your good recooked horse. And then you just
sit on the pod.
Yeah, you just wait for a little bit.
Feel it to bursting. Because you did eat a whole horse.
And then you send it back up.
From centuries ago.
And then the next person who thinks they found a secret horse will just pull down the poop pod.
Oh, you got to mark those somehow. You got to mark them secretly so you know, but nobody else does.
And that's how you keep your competition in check. Because it's man-eat horse in the wastelands.
That is really what the moral of the Journey West was about, I think.
Man eat horse in the wasteland.
Yeah, as cool as I think it'd be to see like a really pretty battle sequence as described by that poem, mm-hmm. In a similar vein to the Jet Li hero movie where they do all the cool colors and slow motion punches. And all of that, like, that would definitely be a great sequence, and there's already art direction given in the poem. I think I would rather watch the Mad Max Horse Kite Wasteland survival movie.
The movie that we just made up in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. That has no folklore in it, and a lot more poop.
I think there's a lot of folklore in it. I think we are uniquely equipped to invent folklore on the fly.
That is our MO.
Our service to folklore is much like our service to science. Immeasurably best.
So I think that's going to do it for the Journey West this year. Maybe we'll do it again. It's been a while since I've done two in one year, but...
It's a good story. Let's do another one.
Yeah, we just keep forgetting that that's an option.
I like it being annual, but I don't mind doing more than one.
We'll see how stressed I get during con season. Well, thank you, Tyler, for stealing my thunder.
And thank you, Comrade Craghag, for sponsoring.
We hope the toilet content was up to your...
to your liking.
Thank you to everybody who's been tweeting about the show, like Donut Shoes, Zane. Thank you, Sarah Makes Art. She has designed... a tattoo based on the Church of the Knife, which is very good.
It's very cool looking.
It is really cool looking.
Yeah, it's, boy, never thought that a dumb thing I said would be tattooed on somebody. But great. No, it's a good design. Go for it. Is that it? Is that what I do?
Yeah.
If you like the show, tell somebody about it.
If you really like the show, visit our website, WTFolklorePodcast.com, and check out the merch we've got.
And tell people about that.
Yes, it like really word of mouth is the best way that we grow. So just text like one friend about it. You can do it right now.
Thank you to our patrons for keeping our lives full of exciting new things, fluffy animal photos, great opinions, health support,
toilets,
turlets.
And for noticing the jokes that I say during the episodes that get ignored by these two.
We're too busy thinking of the next joke that we're going to say.
So thank you. And thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Kelty, Cole, Allie, Crimson, McGregor, Nathan the Scott, Yawa Yowie, Letitia, April, DPRCM, Nell with a K, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Hylistus of Wimbus, Grace, Daughter Wimbus, Snufkin with Knife for President 2020, Jeremiah, Cherryman, Fatung, I'm assuming this is a reference to something I'm not familiar with, F-H-T-A-G-N.
That's a Lovecraft word.
There we go.
It's not supposed to be pronounceable.
Okay. It felt Lovecraftian. So,
given that, you did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Haley, Tim is visiting Snow during this recording. He's still not impressed. Dominic, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, The Neon.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Orbital Horse Kite.
Thank you, Orbital Horse Kite.
Thank you, Thought Horse.
Thank you, Thought Horse.
Any other standouts this time?
Thank you, Dragon Horse.
Thank you, all horses, really. Yeah.
Thank you, horses.
Legal or otherwise.
Meat, living meat, or whatever.
Thank you, Bubble Boy.
Thank you, toilets.
Thank you, toilets.
A scourge and a necessity.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-hi-di-hi-di-ho. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.